Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from the heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Will the congregation please stand for worship?
See, the stone is rolled away. Behold, the
this morning.
Hey, we'll just go straight on.
Well,
yeah,
we'll
all separate.
All right, let's continue to worship in song this morning.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to came flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming.
Living he loved.
Your knees might be worn out by the end of the day today. Please stand, take your red hymnals, and turn to number 567. Number 567.
Christ is risen. I want to welcome you here this morning to Dayton Mennonite. It is a wonderful day of celebration. It's always exciting to come if you were here after the Good Friday service and remembering his death and the blood that was shed for on our behalf to pay for our sin. And now we celebrate his resurrection, which gives us confidence in a future with him. I want to read from 1 Peter. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, his blood has paid the price. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, his resurrection will also raise us to be with him someday. Invite the ushers to come forward at this time. This morning's offering is for pastoral support. Special music can come as well. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this church. Father, I pray that no matter how large, how small, how what may seem insignificant and what may seem large, that no matter what ministry is happening here, Jesus, that it would be of honor to you. I pray for myself and Mike, Lord, that we would follow you, that we would be men of God, that we would be an example to the congregation of what it means to be a servant as Jesus was a servant to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus Christ.
We'd like to take just a couple minutes briefly to give a couple announcements. A reminder of next Sunday, beginning the marriage seminar that we are going to be having. It goes Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Monday evening as well. Josh, you have an announcement?
So if you saw the bulletin, there's an announcement in the bulletin about Church League softball. I gave you about 3 weeks to sign up. It generally starts the end of April or the first week of May. The sooner you can get to me, the better. It makes it a little easier to get the team set up. Also, we are considering doing new jerseys this year. So if you're interested in that, also let me know. And the cost, we don't know for sure, but the cost will probably be approximately $30 per jersey. I also have another announcement. Eva, if you could step forward. So I went to California to get to know this lady by my side better, and I did get to know her better. I want to thank God for traveling mercies on the way out and back. It's a very long drive, and we had no incidents. And so,
just say it, man.
We're getting married. The details are still to be worked out. Thank you.
It is good to have you all back with us. Wow. Jake, would you come lead us in some hymns, followed by Mike with a message?
Once again, from your red hymnals, number 179, and you know the drill. Please stand. Number 179. Turn back to number 175.
Was not turned on during that song because y'all would have got an earful. What a morning it's been. I just want to thank the cooks downstairs, those who put so much effort into serving us this morning, the worship team for serving us, Jake serving us with these hymns. I love it. What a morning it's been. 1 Corinthians 15 is where we're starting this morning. Jesus is alive, and that changes everything. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen. I don't know if you read the title of the message this morning, Resurrection Ears. I feel like I'd have to spend the whole sermon explaining that, probably. I Googled it to see what would come up, and don't do that. It's nothing helpful. A lot of bunny ears and Jesus ears and weird stuff. I'm not going that route this morning. Resurrection ears. Jesus is alive. That changes everything. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 28. Notice the headings. Resurrection, essential to the gospel. Resurrection, essential to the faith. Christ's resurrection guarantees ours. Those are the sections we're reading. I want to encourage you to go home and study the rest of 1 Corinthians 15, but that's what we're doing this morning. Now, I want to make clear for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold to the message I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born at the wrong time, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have believed. Verse 12. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain, and so is your faith. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses about God, because we have testified wrongly about God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Those then who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. But as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man.
For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterward at his coming, those who belong to Christ, then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom of God the Father, when he abolishes all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death, for God has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says everything is put under him, it is obvious that he who puts everything under him is the exception. When everything is subject to Christ, then the Son himself will also be subject to the one who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all in all. Jesus is alive. That changes everything. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen. You know, the apostles, all of Jesus' disciples, upon this resurrection news, upon seeing Jesus, they did not go out and proclaim Christ's death. They went out and proclaimed that he's alive. And this is the foundation of our faith. What we just read, so many points of how his resurrection serves our faith. We see in verse 3 that Christ died for our sins. This is the gospel. He died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. And he appeared to many people. Verse 12 of what we just read. Christ's resurrection means that resurrection simply is possible for you and for me. Because Christ has been raised. If Christ, in verse 14, if Christ is still dead, our proclamation is empty, is in vain. And so is our faith. Verse 15, we are false witnesses if Christ has not been raised. Verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, our faith is worthless and we are still in our sins. You thought about that one? So if you're living in sin right now, you're living as though Jesus is still in the tomb. If Christ has not been raised, our faith is worthless. We are still in our sins. Verse 18, everyone who has died in Christ will have perished. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, all of our loved ones who have gone on before us, putting their faith in Christ, are simply dead and gone, like Jesus, if he has not been raised from the grave. Verse 19, if Christ is only relevant for this fleshly life, we should be pitied more than anyone else. If Christ is only relevant right here and right now, and then I die and I'm dead like Jesus because he has not been raised, I should live for me. We should be pitied more than anyone else. We look silly if that's the case. Verses 20 through 22, if you were born in the flesh, you will die. If you are reborn into Christ, you will live because he is alive. Verses 29 through 34, and we didn't read all this. If dead people are simply dead, we should all just live for selfish desires while we still have life. Those that live just for selfish desires live as those who deny the resurrection. And that's been repeated. Those who live for selfish desires live as though there is no resurrection. Because it is life, the life of Christ, that gives us hope. You live like men who have no hope. You live like Christ is in the tomb. You live as though he is dead. Verses 35 through 49 talk about a seed needing to die for new life to come. Imagine if every seed ever planted just stayed dead. Christ's resurrection shows us the nature of resurrection bodies. We still die and we are buried, but we rise. And when we do so, we will bear the image of Jesus himself. In verse 50, once our flesh is dead and resurrection life comes, we will be able to declare, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where death is your victory, where death is your sting. Amen? Amen. The resurrection is the foundation of our faith. Death was the victor until Christ rose from the grave. The Holy Spirit was not poured out upon believers until Christ rose from the grave. The disciples lived in fear until Christ rose from the grave. We are left with a living hope because he rose from the grave. As it is, we have power, hope, joy, purpose, valid, and verified faith because he is alive. What do you expect when you come to a resurrection morning service? It's Easter, right? You're coming to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What words am I telling you in your mind when you're at home this morning? Maybe you're not thinking about the sermon. But what do you expect to hear? Because there is a lot of pressure on many pastors this morning to say something that invokes emotion, to speak with the highest clarity that they've ever spoken with, to speak with simplicity, cause everybody to feel good. It's a resurrection sermon. Everybody should just leave with big smiles on their faces, feeling great about who they are, right? Because Jesus is alive. Yes and no. I've been wrestling with this reality. I'm supposed to invite you, challenge you, plead with you, convince you to be more faithful in 2023 than you were in 2022. Because Jesus is alive. Just get on your knees and say this prayer. Surrender your life to him. By words only, it's okay. Just come back next Sunday. How many of us are here because it's Easter, but we might not see you again till next Easter? And how many of us are here every Sunday, but we're not here really? Really. We're here in the flesh, but not in the spirit. What did you expect from an Easter Sunday morning service? I listened to a sermon from Francis Chan and was very inspired or convicted on this topic. What do you think the crowds expected to hear from Jesus? How did Jesus relate? When Jesus says, "Follow me," what does it sound like? Did he speak with simplicity? Did he speak with clarity? Did he evoke emotional reactions from people? Did he make it easy for people to follow? Like, that sounds easy. I'll go after that, Jesus. I challenge you, should Google every time Jesus says, "Follow me," and read what it sounds like. He did not make it easy. He did not say, "It's no big deal. Just come up here and pray with me." He did not say, "I love you so much. Just come, come, come." He said a lot of crazy things. In fact, I would argue he made it very difficult for people to follow. He caused people to weigh the desire that they had for him with the desire that they had for themselves. Back to Adam's sermon on depravity. He put depravity on the line. He put it on the scale with a desire for him. And he allowed people to make their decisions. I want to look at one example of this. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. Imagine this. It says in Matthew 13, it says, "On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat down." So here you have a scene. There are so many people coming to hear him. Sounds kind of like a Easter Sunday morning service, right? So many people that Jesus couldn't even just talk to them. He had to remove himself, get into a boat where he could speak to everybody. And what does he say? In Matthew 13, he says, consider a farmer, a sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some of the seed fell along the path. The birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where there wasn't much soil. It grew up quickly, but it didn't have depth, and the sun came out and it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns came up and choked it. Still other seed fell on good ground and produced fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen. Okay, see ya. What? Jesus, what did that mean? Well, if you have ears to hear, pay attention. What is that supposed to mean? How could you leave somebody with just that? Right? And his disciples were thinking the same thing. His disciples came to him and says, then the disciples came up and asked him, why are you speaking in all these parables? In other words, we don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. You're confusing us. And you know what Jesus says? I speak in parables so that those who have ears to hear will come and follow after me. And those who do not have ears to hear will not. He quotes a prophecy, Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah prophesied, you will listen, but never understand. You will look and look, but never perceive. For the people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn back, and I would heal them. And I just want to declare this morning, Jesus is alive. To all who have ears to hear, listen. Because I cannot convince you of something if these people's hearts, if your heart has grown callous and your ears are hard of hearing. What could I say? Jesus is alive. That changes everything. To those who have ears to hear, listen. Jesus explains this to the disciples. He explains the parable. To those who say, I must understand, I want to follow, he waters like a seed in good soil. But Jesus does not go water seeds sown on the path. He does not go and water seeds that sprout up in the rocky soil. He does not go and water those that are growing in the thistles. Who does he water? Those who have ears to hear and come after him. Where are you at this morning? You're here today. Do you want the truth? Do you want the truth? Praise God. You can't handle the truth. If you found out today that your view of Jesus and what it means to follow him was wrong, would you want to know it? Yeah. If you found out today that your view of Jesus was wrong, think critically right now. The way I've been following him is wrong. Do you really want to know it? What if that means radical life change? What if you're wrong? You know, most people struggle, and we don't even realize it, but we are led not by the actual truth, but our hope of the truth, our feelings toward the truth, what we desire to be true. And so often, we have our image. We bring Jesus, and we conform him into our image, and then we tell everybody, follow me as I follow Jesus. And we have a messed up view of who Jesus is. If your view and your understanding of who he is messed up, do you really want to know it? I'll tell you. There's something in my life where I don't really want to know the truth about. And I don't know if y'all eat bologna or not. But I love bologna. I grew up with bologna. And we call it pink bologna because that's the only way to separate it from all the other bologna in our lives. But I was thinking about this bologna, and I even started to read the nutrition facts, and I just stopped because I don't really want to know what's in here. I love it. When I in Indiana, when I was working, I would make myself a bologna sandwich every day, multiple pieces. It's a great snack. You put some cheese on top and just eat bologna. And now I'll just go to the refrigerator. I know where it's at. It's something I can rely on if I'm really hungry, if I need some protein. All I need for the day is found in that package right there. Bologna is where it's at. But if someone came up to me today and was like, I need to tell you all the grinding of meats and the squirting in of preservatives or whatever it might be that goes into making that, I would say, I don't want to know what goes into that. Don't destroy my image of a food that I love. Don't cause me to think I might need to change my view about my bologna. I want to view it the way I always have. I want to pretend that there's a lot of vitamins in here. That's what I would prefer. And many of us today, many of us have this view of Jesus. Don't come to me with the truth about Jesus. You step on what I believe is true about Jesus. My Jesus, who just doesn't judge anyone. He overlooks all sins. He's okay with me continuing in my sin. He's all right with it. My Jesus is. Well, if I come to you and say, you are headed for destruction according to the word of God, don't step on my view of Jesus. Don't step on my view of Jesus. How many of us really have ears to hear? Do you have ears to hear the truth? And if the way you are following Jesus and your view of Jesus is wrong, do you want to know the truth? A few examples of Jesus when he responds to people who want to follow him, or when he calls people to follow. He says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. And if you have ears to hear it this morning, you will see the darkness in your life. Because a lot of us are walking in darkness, but we don't have ears to hear this. Whoever wants to follow me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you possess, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me. Jesus saw a large crowd around him. He gave the order to go to the other side of the sea. A scribe approached him and he said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus told him, foxes have dens, birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Sure you want to follow? Lord, another of his disciples said, first, let me go bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me. Let the dead bury their own dead. Anyone who wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know, in John 6, Jesus is talking about being the bread of life. He just fed thousands of people, and they're coming after him. And he challenges them. He says, you're not coming after me for me. You're coming after me because you're hungry, and you want bread. And they're like, okay, hang on a second. What do you mean here? And he's like, I will give you myself, a bread that you will be able to eat forever. And they're like, okay, this is really confusing. And the religious leaders said, we don't like this. We don't like what Jesus is saying right now. And he challenges them. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes after me will live, even though he dies. And what is the end result of that kind of call to come? Many disciples left because this is just too difficult to understand. How many of us here this morning? Many of us will leave. This is just too difficult to understand. Jesus didn't run after them. Jesus didn't water them. They have every opportunity. We have every opportunity to run after Jesus. One of probably the craziest examples of this is Luke chapter 14. And this will be the end. Luke 14, starting in verse 25. Says, great crowds were traveling with Jesus. Great crowds. So he turned to them and said, now I want you to imagine, this isn't a perfect, you know, this isn't a perfect illustration, but imagine if I said, well, this is a great crowd of people, and we have Jesus here this morning. Jesus, come on out here. Jesus is going to share a message with us this morning. And everybody gives like a 5-minute standing ovation because Jesus Christ is here. Can you believe it? And Jesus comes up and he says, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you wanting to build a tower doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, after he has laid the foundation and cannot finish it, all of the onlookers will begin to ridicule him, saying, this man started to build, but he wasn't able to finish. Or what king going to war against another king will not first sit down and decide if he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If not, while the other is still far off, he sends a delegation and he asks for terms of peace. In the same way, therefore, every one of you who does not renounce all of his possessions cannot be my disciple. Now salt is good, but if salt should lose its taste, how will it be made salty? It isn't fit for the soil or for the manure pile. They throw it out. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen. Bless you all. And Jesus leaves. Like what? Like if I'm moderating, I'm coming up like, okay, sorry about Jesus. I don't think he understood he was talking to. This is Dayton Mennonite. You know, this is, yeah, we don't have to hate fathers and mothers. Just please forget what Jesus said, because I don't think he meant it the way it came across, right? I would have to recover if Jesus said something like that. I can't imagine myself saying something like this and leaving it to everyone to wrestle with. No. I need to be very, very clear here. I need to be very clear. The words of Jesus are not enough. I need to be more clear. Jesus just throws it out there. And he says, to those who have ears to hear, listen up. Come after me. Follow me. There's a cross out here. I'm going to ask you to carry it to Harrisonburg where you're going to be crucified. You want to come? I didn't think so. Do you want to follow after him? Jesus puts it very simply. And then he says, let anyone who has ears to hear listen. Are you going to come after him? Are you going to come after him? Run after Jesus. Jesus is alive. That changes everything. He is alive. That changes everything for you and me. Every other religion that believes in the historical figure of Christ believes in a dead Jesus. We have a living Savior. And that changes everything. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen. I'm going to pray. The worship team can come up. They're going to be closing us with a song. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll hear from the worship team. Father in heaven, we lift your name on high. We love because you first loved us. We are a messy and depraved people, constantly losing our focus on who you are in order to focus on who we are and who we want to be. When the world looks at the church, we hope they see Christ. But so often, we see a broken image of what we ought to be. Father, help us to be like Jesus. Help us to be like Christ. But moreover, we ask that those who are here today would have ears to hear the truth, that they would see you for who you are and not a broken image of who they perceive you to be. Help us to see you as you are. You are a treasure in a field. We're selling everything we have in order to obtain. You are so precious that nothing else we have, no other relationship, can even be said to be worth anything in comparison to the worth of you. We ask this morning for every heart to be humbled in your presence. Help us to be a people with ears to hear, because we know that Christ is alive and that changes everything. Would you create us into a people that are found to be good soil, where a seed can be planted and watered, and we see the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of Christ, springing up from within us. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you all. Please stand.
Let's worship together. Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin.
without hope, no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given away. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a
to you all. Go in peace.